Good day, and welcome to the TGS Q4 2017 earnings release conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Kristian Johansen, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks. Hello, and welcome to the TGS fourth quarter 2017 conference call. My name is Kristian Johansen. I'm the CEO of TGS, and joining me today is our CFO, Sven Børre Larsen. Earlier today, we posted our fourth quarter and full year 2017 earnings release, as well as our 2018 guidance. You will find these documents on our website in addition to a replay of this morning's webcast. I will now just give you a brief summary of the main points before opening the call to your questions. In the fourth quarter of 2017, TGS had total net revenues of $157 million, with late sales of $143 million and pre-funding revenues of $11 million. Operational multi-client investments during the quarter were $28 million, in addition to $10 million from risk-sharing arrangements. Operating profit was $52 million, representing 33% of net revenues, and earnings per share were 53 cents. TGS cash flow from operations during the quarter was $137 million, and free cash flow after multi-client investments was $56 million, which is up 68% from Q4 of 2016. For the full year of 2017, net revenues were $492 million. This is up 8% from 2016. Late sales were $369 million, which is up 11% from 2016. And pre-funding revenues were $116 million, which is up 10% from the prior year. Pre-funding revenues represented 44% of TGS operational multi-client investments for the year. Our operational multi-client investments came in at $260 million, in line with our 2017 guidance. In addition, we had $18 million of investments from risk-sharing arrangements. Operating profit for 2017 was $97 million, representing 20% of net revenues. This is a significant increase from $53 million in 2016. Our full-year cash flow performance was very strong, with free cash flow after multi-client investments of $123 million, which is up 35% from $91 million in 2016. This resulted in a cash balance of $250 million at the end of the year, in addition to an undrawn credit facility of $75 million. Our industry-leading financial returns and strong free cash flow has enabled TGS to increase the quarterly dividend by 33% to 20 cents per share in Q1 of 2018. Q4 saw a lower level of data acquisition activity following a very busy summer season where TGS acquired a record high amount of 3D data at historically low cost. In Q4, TGS completed projects offshore Canada, the U.S. Gulf of Mexico, Ireland, and North America onshore. Looking ahead into 2018, we plan to return to the Norwegian Sea to complete our record-breaking Atlantic Margin 3D survey. We will also have projects in the Egyptian Red Sea and the U.S. Gulf of Mexico in the first half of the year. In the onshore, we're seeing good momentum with four new projects announced in addition to the ongoing West Lindsay project in the Permian, which we started last year. I look forward to announcing more new projects as the year progresses. Based on the current plans, TGS provides the following guidance for 2018. New multi-client investments of approximately $260 million. Additional multi-client investments expected from sales of existing surveys with risk-sharing arrangements. Pre-funding of new multi-client investments expected to be approximately 45 to 50%. And finally, amortization expected to be approximately $310 million for 2018. At this time, we will open the call for your questions. Please press star 1 to pose your question.
Thank you, sir. As has been mentioned, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. We can take our first question from Gregory Brown from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. I have a couple of questions, if I may. The first, in the current market, do you see any premium being attached to the type of acquisition or processing technology being used, or are your clients more technology agnostic? And then there's obvious upside to your schedule in the summer months. I know you mentioned that you'll most likely have several vessels operating in Canada later in the year. As you look for other opportunities, can you please comment on how vessel pricing has evolved, particularly in the wake of Western Gecko's retreat from the market? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think your first question related to whether there is a premium attached to acquisition and processing technology. I think the answer is probably a no. I think, and this is partly what Western Gecko or Schlumberger also commented on in their earnings call, and part of the reason to their exit from the vessel business is that you don't really get those premiums that technology normally would get. So I think we see a little bit of the same. I think our clients are pushing really hard to go for the most cost-efficient solution, and technology probably plays a lower role than what you've seen in the previous upcycle. So I guess the answer is that we don't see the typical technology premium in today's market, and clients seem to be very, very focused on low costs. In terms of our investments for 2018, and yeah, you've seen our vessel schedule, and you're correct, we have plans that we have not yet announced. I think there is no secret that we obviously have plans of going back to Canada for the summer season. We have been in Canada with at least 1 to 2 3D vessels every season now since 2011. This is our seventh consecutive year. Started out with a very active 2D program, and in the most recent years you've seen quite a lot of 3D as well. So I don't think I say too much by indicating that we will be back with at least 1 or perhaps 2 3D vessels in Canada, and normally we would also plan a 2D program. The reason why we haven't announced that so far is that we're still working on the logistics and some of the pre-funding with clients. So I think in other areas of the world, we obviously we look elsewhere as well. We have plans for, obviously we've started a survey in the U.S. Gulf of Mexico, and as we said in the earnings call this morning, we see a slight pickup in the market in the U.S. Gulf of Mexico. We also look at both Brazil and Mexico as very interesting markets. I would not rule out that we continue our 2D program in West Africa, and we are actually quite excited about the opportunities that we see. So I think you will see over the next few months that the vessel schedule will continue to fill up, and both onshore and offshore projects, and we feel very comfortable about the backlog, the current backlog, and the investment opportunities we see. In terms of vessel pricing, we base our investment guidance on a pretty much a flat market for 2018. We don't think vessels will be more expensive, but we think they're probably going to remain at the 2017 level. So that's what we put into our assumptions when we plan for 2018. The fact that Schlumberger is now exiting the vessel market is short-term not going to have a significant impact, because they were using that fleet mainly for their internal multi-client activities anyway. So I don't think that short-term is going to have a big impact on how we see the market. Hopefully that answered your questions, and thank you very much.
It did. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please make sure that the mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We can take our next question from Shah Islam from UBS. Please go ahead. Your line is open. Please go ahead, Mr. Islam. Your line is open.
Hi, sir. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I had two questions, if I may, please. So firstly, in terms of vessel costs for 2018, what are you expecting? And particularly, are there any big seasonal swings we should think about? And so if we think about the $260 million you plan to spend in 2018, what does that mean in terms of volumes?
Thank you very much. Well, I think in terms of vessel costs for 2018, we expect it to be pretty much at the same level, as I said, to 2017. There are some seasonal patterns. Typically, the summer season is more busy. Usually, you may have to pay slightly more for a vessel in June and July than you have to do in Q1 and Q4. But on a year-on-year basis, we expect the market to be pretty much flat. So in that sense, we think that we will continue to acquire record high volumes because we assume that prices will remain flat. And if you remember back in 2017, we were actually shooting record high volumes despite the fact that we only invested $260 million. So that will probably remain unchanged for 2018. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And just on the second question, it was, related to the longer-term recovery. There have been some comments, and partly from Schlumberger, which now might seem a bit biased, that there's not much left to shoot over the longer term because so much has been shot already. Do you think that's a fair comment, which would limit the medium-term recovery in seismic? And if not, which areas do you think are more exciting, apart from Brazil, which you talked about earlier?
I think it all depends on where you look. So, I mean, there are certainly areas that are mature where you will need to apply new technologies in terms of extracting more value from your data. So I think a good example would obviously be the U.S. Gulf of Mexico, where there is, you know, many generations of seismic, and we've continued to shoot the same area with probably five different technologies over the past 10 years. So in that sense, I would concur with what they're saying. We need a better technology in order to continue to develop the area. But you still have a number of frontier areas around the world where you still see that we are in the early stages, and we typically start out with 2D or multi-beam and that kind of stuff. So I think it all depends on what kind of area we're talking about. We still see a lot of potential both in frontier areas offshore, where we would probably apply a regional 2D approach, in very frontier areas with proven results such as the U.S. GOM, where we would probably look at more advanced and better technologies, and also in U.S. onshore, where you see that the technology development hasn't really changed all that much over the last 10 years. So the lifetime of the project is probably longer. And that's a huge area, and there's a lot of seismic still to be acquired in U.S. onshore. TGS has been quite active in 2017. We built a very strong position in both the Permian and the Scoop and Stack play of Oklahoma, and we're quite excited about all these opportunities going forward. So there is still going to be plenty of seismic to be acquired, and I think our investment dollars, the fact that they're lower than what they used to be a few years back, is mainly because we pay less for the vessels. So we actually acquire record high volumes.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We can take our next question from Mariah Laura Arondo from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. It's Maria Laura Diorno. So the very first question I have is with respect to slide 26, where you actually show exploration spending, which keeps on coming down to a certain extent. You're not necessarily seeing meaningful improvements for 2018. Now, if I look at where you stand from a group revenue generation standpoint, already this year you saw some improvement year on year at the revenue level. So my first question is, from a seismic standpoint, how has the market moved, at least based on your own assumptions, for 2017 year-on-year versus 16, and how do you expect the seismic market to move into 2018? And then the second question is around use of cash. So you announced a dividend increase this morning, and the key question which I have here is mostly around multi-client investment, whether those could actually increase later on in the year or whether this is a cap that you've put. And in previous years, you've also done some opportunistic acquisitions of multi-client libraries from some of your competitors. Just wondering whether this is still something that is very much part of the strategy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So you were referring to slide 26, and what we show in slide 26 is an exploration spending that is likely to be flat or even slightly down in 2018, and also a 2017 showing a slight reduction in in exploration spending. So the graph refers to the source of the graph is Carnegie Research, and also on the same slide we're showing a lot of quotes from super majors reporting in Q4 and what they say about the market going forward. I think in terms of how we look at, first of all, 2017, we saw a slight pickup in demand, and especially during Q4. And I think you will see that the whole industry had a slightly stronger Q4 and there was some positive momentum. Personally, I think some of that momentum was driven by a very positive momentum in the oil price. And obviously, the oil price had a very positive development from July to December of 2017 and actually continuing into this year. So I think given that there is quite a strong correlation between seismic spending and late sales or exploration spending and late sales of seismic, I think that was not a big surprise. And then the big question is, how is that going to develop into 2018? I think we were showing a slightly cautious expectation in the earnings release today. And part of the reason for that is that when we look at especially the EIA short-term energy outlook for 2018, there may be some slight oversupply in the market again because of a significant production increase from U.S. shale. And that again may have a negative impact on the oil price in 2018. And if you combine that with what the super majors are actually saying, and we have to believe in what they're saying, you will see that the six companies that we are referring to on slide 26, they all share a very similar message where they say that, yes, cash flow has improved significantly. Their cash break even comes down to a level which means that they will be very profitable with an oil price of between 60 and 70. But they don't want to announce any increase in their CapEx spending. And that may be the case. It may be that they have learned from previous up cycles, and 18 will still be a challenging year. But I still think there is some upside from companies who are not on this list and companies who are not super majors and who have not been spending money on seismic in this down cycle and who are now seeing a better market and a stronger cash flow, so that there is some additional capital to be spent on exploration and hopefully on seismic. So we're basing our guidance on a relatively flat market for 2018, and then we see that there are some positive signs, and certainly if the oil price remains where it is today, then there should be maybe some upside, but that upside will probably come from small independents rather than the super majors, if we believe what they're saying. Your next question is the dividend, you know, the fact that we increased our dividend by 33% today after a very strong cash flow in Q4 of 2017, and the relation to our planned investments for 2018 and whether there is a cap on our exploration guidance, our investment guidance, which is $260 million. And to that, I can say that we have a very flexible business model. We have a very strong balance sheet. And if the market improves and if we see opportunities that satisfies our very strict criteria to returns, we can certainly increase that during the year. But as it is right now and as we see the world right now, 260 is what we plan for 2018. But certainly more upside than downside is probably what I would indicate. And then finally, your last question is related to, you know, data library purchases or whether we are in the market for looking at inorganic acquisitions of data libraries. And I think, first of all, I would refer to the fact that we have been quite active in this down cycle. We acquired the data library of Polarcus, of Dolphin. We also acquired a significant part of the library of Multi-Client Geophysical, and we also got the data library of Seabird. So we actually been able to capture four data libraries in down cycle. And I think the answer is that we still continue to look for library opportunities. As I said, we've already picked up a lot of the available offshore data libraries, but we're looking onshore as well. And we will certainly announce if we end up buying a data library. We're certainly looking for that and see what we can do. Thank you very much.
Very much.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on the telephone keypad. It would appear there are no questions or no further questions at this time. Gentlemen, I'll turn the call back to you for additional or closing remarks.
Thank you very much. We're very pleased with our industry-leading financial returns and strong free cash flow development. This performance supports both the increased dividend that we announced this morning, as well as our strategy of counter-cyclical investments. In 2018, we expect to continue adding high volumes of data to our library at low unit costs, and this will form the basis for continued robust returns and cash flows going forward. With a strong balance sheet, industry-leading cash flow, and world-class geoscience and project development expertise, TGS will continue to thrive in the current market conditions. Thank you again for joining us today, and I look forward to our next update in May. Thank you.
Thank you. A replay of the conference call will be available shortly. To access a replay of the TGS conference call, dial +47 23 50 0077 in Norway, or +44 02 07 660 0134 for international access, or +1 719 457 0820 in the US. Enter access replay code 6755927 followed by the pound or hash key. This will conclude today's call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.